It is good to be in worship together. I thank God for all who have led us in this service thus far. And I'm grateful for all of you who are here in person, as well as all of you who are worshiping with us online. We're in a sermon series called Formed by Following, Authentic Discipleship. And today we're going to look at a beautiful passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I will read from the New Revised Standard Version. And the title of my sermon is Branching In. These are the words of Christ. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Let us pray. Lord God, in this preaching moment, I simply ask that you would help me to speak your word. Help them to hear your word. And Lord, help us all to do your word. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In John 15, 1 through 8, Jesus casts an image of a vineyard. He is the vine, and we, his disciples, are the branches. As branches, we have but one purpose, to bear fruit. That's the reason we exist, to bear fruit. But what exactly is this fruit that we are to bear? Well, Jesus has been talking about love since back in John 13, where he said, love one another. Love is a fruit we are to bear. Jesus talks about joy right after this passage in John 15, 11. He says, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be made full. Joy is a fruit we are to bear. Jesus also talks about peace just before this passage in John 14, verse 27. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Peace is also a fruit we are to bear. In the broader context of John's gospel, then, the fruit we are to bear includes love, joy, and peace. This corresponds beautifully with what Paul says in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, where he writes, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We can include other Christian virtues as well among the fruit God intends for us to bear, such as hope, service, justice, mercy, and humility. As branches, we have one purpose, to bear this fruit. But sometimes we confuse our purpose with our job. According to John 15, our job is not to bear fruit. Our job is to abide in Christ. Our job as branches is to stay vitally attached to the true vine so that Christ's power flows through our veins, enabling us to produce fruit. I saw a branch laying in my yard last week. It didn't have a flower on it, and it never will. It's not connected to its life source. A branch can lay there on the ground, detached and independent, and try to bear fruit all day long, but it's never going to happen. So many times we get this backwards as Christians. So many times we get this backwards in the church. So many times we get this backwards as preachers. So let me say this as clearly as I can. Our purpose as disciples is to branch out. But our job as disciples is to branch in. If we branch in to the true vine, Jesus Christ, we will naturally branch out and bear fruit. But if we sit close to the vine, yet not really connected, or if we try really hard to bear fruit on our own, it will never happen as God intends. When I was in college, I read a famous book by C.S. Lewis entitled Mere Christianity. In this famous book, Lewis makes the case that humility is a principal mark of the Christian. I was inspired by what I read, and I decided to pursue a life of humility. So I tried to be as humble as I possibly could, not taking credit for things, seeking to build others up instead of building myself up, receding into the background and giving others the spotlight as much as possible. As I pursued humility intently, I began to notice just how prideful and self-centered and self-serving everybody else was. And I began to wish somebody would notice my exemplary humility and commend me for it. I'm telling you, I became the humblest person I knew, but nobody would give me any credit. Finally, it occurred to me that I had not achieved humility. In my heart, I thought myself better than others. That's not humility. In my heart, I was seeking recognition. That's not humility. I had fashioned an idol out of a Christian virtue by pursuing humility instead of pursuing Christ. Christians do this sometimes. I've known Christians who wanted to be more joyful, so they sought joy, 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 and didn't really get the results they were looking for. I've known Christians who wanted to experience more peace in their lives, so they sought peace, 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 and generally did not get the results they were hoping for. It's the same with patience, self-control, generosity, justice, peace, righteousness, and so on. When we pursue a particular virtue, even a godly virtue, we are like a branch trying to bear fruit without the vine. And apart from Christ, the true vine, says verse 5, we can do nothing. The key is to seek Christ, and love will blossom. The key is to seek Christ, and joy will flower. The key is to seek Christ and peace will bloom. The key is to seek Christ passionately, to abide in Christ continually, to connect with Christ deeply, to live and move and have our being in a vital relationship with Christ. The key is to branch in to the true vine so that we can branch out and bear fruit. But how do we branch in to Christ? How do we abide in Christ? Verse 7 offers a clue. If you abide in me, says Christ, and my words abide in you. To abide in Christ is to let his words abide in us. Therefore, we read and study Holy Scripture, especially the four Gospels, which record the words and deeds of Christ. Some read the Bible in the morning. Some read the Bible in the evening. Some read the Bible on their lunch break. Any time of day is a good time to immerse ourselves in Holy Scripture. Some read the whole Bible through in a year. Some read one chapter of the Bible per day. Any program of Bible intake can be beneficial. The important thing is to remain in the Scriptures, especially the four Gospels. Memorizing Scripture can help us abide in Christ too. Taking one verse each week or one passage each month to memorize can help us to abide in Christ. If we memorize the words of Christ, they will be as sap flowing from the vine to the branch, empowering the production of fruit. Verse 7 says that as we abide in Christ and his words abide in us, we can ask whatever we wish, and it will be done for us. Here we see that branching in also involves prayer. Now, this verse does not guarantee that we will get whatever we want every time we pray. We can't pray for a new car and expect one to come rolling into our driveway in the next half hour. It means that if we are in a vital relationship with Christ, then Christ will shape what we want in prayer. And as our desires match Christ's desires, he will answer our prayers just as we ask. Again, prayer is not the branch commanding the vine. Prayer is the branch in a close relationship with the vine, connected and unified in both vitality and purpose. If we wake up with prayer and go to bed with prayer and pray in between, Christ will abide in us and will cause fruit to blossom in our lives. Yet another way to abide in Christ is through worship. When we praise God in song and listen to the Scriptures read and proclaimed, and fellowship with our friends in the faith and encourage one another, comfort one another, and build one another up, we are abiding in Christ, and Christ is abiding in us. To branch into Christ is to branch into the body of Christ, the church. The image of the vineyard involves a plurality of branches, not just one vine and one branch. This is not an image of discipleship as just me and Jesus. The vineyard image actually suggests that Christian discipleship is a collective endeavor and the production of fruit is a communal enterprise. If we are seeking Christ with passion, abiding in Scripture, continuously in prayer, and regularly worshiping with the body of Christ, we will abide in Christ. And we will bear fruit. In fact, we will bear fruit no matter the season. Notice that in this metaphor, Jesus totally disregards the role that sunshine, rain, and wind all play in the blossoming process. He doesn't mention any need for a good climate or advantageous weather. Christ does not need favorable conditions to let his power flow into our lives and produce fruit. Branches of the true vine can bear fruit regardless of the external circumstances. Branches that bear fruit also experience pruning from time to time. According to verse 2, there is a vine grower who tends the vineyard and does whatever is necessary to cultivate the most fruitful harvest. If some branches are just lying around in the brush, not really connected to Christ, just appearing to be, he pulls them away and throws them into a pile to be burned. The point is that the Father has no room for pretenders, for phonies, for branches that dress the part but bear no fruit. But when the vine grower sees branches that are truly connected to Christ and do bear fruit, he prunes them. He cuts them back so they can bear even more fruit in the future. For the branch, the pruning process is unpleasant. But for the overall harvest, it's quite productive. Now, I'm no expert in horticulture, but I understand that one key to pruning is the timing. Pruning must occur at the right time in order to bring about maximum growth. God's timing is perfect whenever God prunes us. It might not feel like good timing from our perspective, but God's timing is always perfect. Another key to good pruning is to cut back just the right amount. Not so far that the branch loses vitality, but enough to stimulate new growth. Branches must be cut down to just the right size so that their fruitfulness may be abundant and sweet. God knows just how far back to cut us. Not so far that we lose vitality, but far enough to bring about fresh new growth. When God prunes, it's not to harm us, but to help us. Just as a surgeon's knife causes temporary hurt that leads to long-term benefits, God's pruning hurts for a time, but leads to greater strength moving forward. Now, this is not to suggest that every time we hurt or every setback we encounter should be attributed directly to God's hand. But it is to suggest that sometimes our setbacks and even our hurts are God's way of cultivating further growth, stronger vitality, and a greater harvest of fruit in our lives. At my parents' home in South Carolina, one section of their driveway is lined with crepe myrtles. These trees are glorious when they are in bloom. It's a highlight for anyone who visits their home to pull around the gentle bend in their driveway and suddenly encounter these spectacular trees. Some years ago, I went to my parents' home to visit them, and I remember pulling around that gentle bend in their driveway and seeing that those crepe myrtles had been pruned. It was so sad to see. The crepe myrtles were cut back farther than I had ever seen before. They looked puny. They looked rough. They looked depressing. The image of these pitiful trees stuck with me. But a few months later, I remember going back to visit my parents again. And when I pulled around that gentle bend in their driveway, I came upon those crepe myrtles, and they were blooming like never before. They were taller than I had ever seen them. The branches were reaching wider than I had ever seen them before. The blossoms were absolutely radiant, more vivid and more bountiful than I had ever seen before. These glorious blossoms were everywhere. Those crepe myrtles had reached a whole new level of strength, a whole new level of beauty, a whole new level of fruitfulness in the aftermath of their pruning process. So let me say to all the disciples of Christ, all the branches of the true vine, that if you have faced a setback lately, maybe God is pruning you so you can bear more fruit. If you have been cut down to size lately, maybe God is cultivating new growth in your life. If you are feeling puny lately, maybe God is preparing you for a whole new level of strength. If you are facing challenges or hurt, maybe it's God's way of saying, okay, branch, you've been bearing fruit, so now it's time to take you to the next level. Our momentary hurt may be a sign that God is preparing us to blossom like never before. Our temporary setback may be a sign that God is preparing us to bear fruit like never before. Our momentary pain may be a sign that God is preparing us to bear a harvest of fruit the likes of which we have never seen before. So let us branch in, branch in, branch in, branch in, branch in, and Christ will ensure that we fruitfully branch out. Amen. If you have never